We've been looking at, over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the how God put his church together and how it's supposed to work. The very first week, I talked to you about how a local church is not supposed to be one person-centered. It's supposed to be a collection of people coming together with various gifts and talents and callings and operations and whatnot to love and serve the Lord together. And the best metaphor that the Bible seems to give to us to illustrate how that all works is the human body. In fact, last week I shared this verse with you. In 1 Corinthians 12:25, it says, "The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church." That's a great verse. That's from the Message translation. And so last week I shared with you how our bodies are comprised of 12 different systems with many parts to each one of those systems. Each of the system and its parts have a specific role to play in the overall well-being of our body. Each system of parts is doing what they've been created to do. And yet, while they're doing what they've been created to do, they are working in conjunction with other parts and systems in a complementary and collaborative way in order to serve the body as a whole. For example, right now, as you're seated here, your digestive system is at work within you. Sometimes you'll hear it growl a little bit just to remind you that it's there, right? But while that system is working, simultaneously there is your circulatory system of your heart and blood vessels and blood moving things around that you need in your body. And while that's going on, you've got a nervous system that's at work kind of keeping you in touch with the world around you. Now, they do not all do the same thing, right? They don't all do the same thing. They're all doing separate things, but harmoniously and simultaneously, they're doing what they do to bless the body as a whole. The stomach is not a heart, right? Your stomach, we can't say you never heard of a surgeon or a doctor saying, well, we're going to replace your heart with your stomach. Or we're going to put a heart where your stomach... That's nuts. That's insane, because God has arranged these bodies of ours in such a way that they work unbelievably as each system and part does its work. Both systems, all the systems, are vital to the overall well-being of the body. Not one is more important than the other. They both have a unique and yet complementary part to play. I want you to hear how Paul, here in this passage in Corinthians, kind of tries to elaborate upon what I just suggested to you. There's a little lengthy passage here. I hope you'll bear with me. It's from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, 14 through 21, and then concluding with 27. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not a part of the body because I'm not an eye," would it make it less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." And then Paul concludes with this verse in verse 27. "All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I want to draw your attention this morning to one particular verse in that passage. I want to read it to you now out of the NIV version. It reads like this, verse 18. God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Arranged the parts of the body. Not only have our external parts, the parts that we see on the outside here, been placed strategically at particular points on our body. For example, you may have noticed that your nose is not where your elbow is, right? You don't smell things by going like this, like, you know, going around and checking out the smell of things by extending your elbow towards them. You point your head and your nose towards that which you're trying to sense a smell from. Your eyes are strategically right where they're supposed to be, right? Like they're not on the sides of your head, or sometimes you wish they were in the back of your head, right? But they're just where God placed them for important and strategic reasons. Now, this word arranged is a very interesting word. In the Greek, it means to set in place with an ordained purpose. With an ordained purpose, with a divine purpose. God has put them. He's talking about the human body, right? He's saying that the parts have been put where they're at for a divine purpose. God has set them where in place where they are for a reason. I don't know if you've discovered this yet, but the human body is an amazing arrangement of quite different functions. You cannot help but be astonished at the smoothness with which our bodies operate and articulate a great many functions. For example, there are major senses, right? Your ability to see and to touch and to smell and to taste, all of those things are all functioning as one unit in your body. Your various organs are all working together in marvelous harmony, each one doing something quite different. What Paul is trying to say is that is the characteristic that is so remarkably evident in God's intention for the body of Christ. It's amazing. If you've spent any time, I know in a marriage, you know, we typically think differently. We tend to look at some things differently and whatnot. And yet somehow we're able to work together and live life and do life together. But then that's just two people. Try to bring together a whole collection of people, right? With all varying opinions and ideas and so forth and so on. And somehow the amazing thing about the body of Christ, with all of its flaws, with all of its shortcomings, it still has been able to proclaim the gospel and move forward in the earth today. It's amazing. I know you're not convinced yet. Well, we'll keep going. All right, so as with the human body, Paul is saying, so it should be with the body of Christ. So what, my question to us this morning is this. What are the systems and the parts that God has arranged or set in place with an ordained purpose so that the body, now talking about the body of Christ, will function as it should? Well, last week I talked to you about the one system, right? The one part, it has many parts to it, but the one big system that has to absolutely be in place for all the other systems to function. And that, remember what we talked about last week? We talked about the head, the brains. And remember we said in the Bible, it says Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the brains of the operation. And if he's not in his proper place, then it doesn't matter what the other systems and parts are, because they won't be able to function the way that they should without him leading and directing things. So we set that one in place. So this morning I want to say, what are the other systems? What are some of the other things that God has divinely set in place. I want to read to you a couple more verses here. This is again verse 27 and 28, and I've taken the liberty here to put some words in to help, kind of like the Amplified version, to help us better understand it. Now you collectively, meaning all of us together, are Christ's body, and yet individually we are each members of it, each part severally and yet distinct, each with its own place and function. And in the church, his body, God has appointed, same Greek word for arranged, first of all, apostles, second prophets, and then he goes on and he starts to list a variety of other things. That's significant because he's listing with all these other gifts later, he's listing these ministry gifts, these callings, these offices of apostles and prophets. The exhaustive list of what Paul touches on here is found in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says, it was he, meaning God, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Now, this list that I just read to you from Ephesians 4:11 here has been traditionally called, here's what we usually refer to it as, the fivefold ministry or offices. Anybody heard of that before? Okay, good. It is one of the systems that God has set into operation in his body, strategically placed to serve a purpose. Just like, I'm going to keep drawing you back to the human body, just like the circulatory system or your nervous system or your digestive system, any of those systems are strategically placed in the body to function and serve a purpose. God now, when talking about his spiritual body, the body of Christ, it says here that he has set in place, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He has set this system. It's his system, right? I didn't make it up. You didn't make it up. Paul says God has gave to the church. He has set in place in the church this notion or system of the fivefold ministry. Now, as you kind of read up on this kind of stuff, people try to make analogies, to talk about the fivefold ministry as a part of the human body. And I've heard it referred to as the fivefold ministry being the sensory system of our body. You know, there's five senses we all have, and some people have tried to equate the fivefold offices or ministries there to the five senses in the body. And there's some merit to that. I've also heard it said that God has that God has set the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ similar to how he's put together the skeletal system of the human body. In other words, it provides a structure, a sense of stability, a sense of, connecting everything together and bringing everything together. And I think there's some merit to that. I've also heard them referred to as the organs of the body. They say that there's five primary, more than that, organs, but five primary organs of the body. And some have suggested that that is how the fivefold ministry or offices function. Well, as I just said, while all of them, I think, have some merit, and you certainly could see how they could equate to, you know, those systems or parts of the human body, I prefer, for me personally, I prefer to simply say this, that the fivefold ministry and offices is God's system of in-flesh leadership for his body. I don't know that you can draw a clear line or a clear connection to to a particular system within the human body, but I will say this, that it is God's system of in-the-flesh leadership for his spiritual body, the church. Everybody with me so far? It's the system he set in place to help lead his body in the earth. Is that all right? Okay, so let's talk about that for a little bit. All of these fivefold ministries bring an aspect of leadership to the whole of the body of Christ. Now, here's what I mean. I'm going to try to spell this out for you a little bit. I put them up there just so you can remember them. The apostle, or the apostolic ministry, because it may be in reference to an individual, but it also kind of references people in general who are filling that leadership need, right? The apostle ministry is broad, in my mind, is broad in scope, and it provides oversight and care to the overall body of Christ. So somebody who functions in that particular ministry or calling is speaking not just on a local level, they are speaking on a broader level to the overall body of Christ. Are you with me? So God is showing them things, and they're seeing things about who God is and about what the church is up to. And so they begin to speak out about that. And I think, you know, I don't want to start naming names and putting names to this, but I know there are people that I listen to that I see as apostles, apostolic in nature, who are speaking things to the overall body of Christ that we need to pay attention to. Right? They're there. And they're providing leadership to God's church. Now, the prophet is the one who is hearing word from God, hearing, not just sensing themes or sensing direction, but they could be sensing direction, but they're hearing what it is that God is saying to the church in the hour that we're living. And so they hear from God, and then they begin to proclaim that to the church. Here's what God is saying. Here's what we need to focus on. Here's what we need to pay attention to. And for me, there are people that I listen to and pay attention to because I believe they're a voice bringing leadership to the church, the general body of Christ, in an effort to try to understand what is going on in the hour that we're living. What is God saying? Hello? Okay. The evangelist carries an anointing to lead people in making sure that we don't lose sight of reaching out and taking hold of the lost that are out there. They're bringing leadership to that. They're saying to the church as a whole, they're saying, listen, you know, this is good enough that we're just paying attention to what's going on in the church. We got to pay attention to what we're doing about reaching outside the church. And so they come with that leadership anointing to engage people in paying attention to reaching those who yet need reached. Are you still there? The pastor is the leader who cares for, now he may be a pastor at large, but primarily pastors due to day-to-day leadership and care for people in a local place. Like it's kind of like I always liken it to like in the medical field, you have like heart surgeons, right? But then you have you got people that deal with digestive specialists, colon people, you know, those people that are out there. You'll get to see one sometime in your lifetime. Well, maybe not. I hope not. I've seen several already. Anyways, they're specialists, right? The pastor is like your local practitioner. You know, the guy that you go to, you're looking for just a little checkup, you're looking for a little aid and assistance here. You got a cold, you got the flu, things like that. A pastor helps serve the general people who attend a particular locale and congregation. And then finally, the teacher is the leader who provides the information, the detailed information, if you will, that we need to know in order to respond to God in a way that we should. Now, much has been said over the years. Books, many books have been written about who qualifies and, you know, what allows somebody to serve in one of these fivefold ministry or offices. A lot has been said there, but I am more concerned about what this system of God that he set in place, what they're designed to do. Like we can, people have debated and argued about whether these are all in process today. I believe they are, but people spend countless hours trying to dissect and define these things. And when they get done doing that, it's like, in my mind, it's like we've missed the whole point. The whole point is, why are these ministry callings and offices, why did God strategically set them in the church? Why? Paul answers that question very clearly. Are you ready? It's in the next verse, verse 12. He says this, God has set these in place to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me read that one more time. If we were to read all of it, it says, and God has given to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and then it says, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me give it to you in several other translations. That was the NIV I gave to you. In the New Living Translation, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. The Message says it this way, to train Christians in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church. The literal Greek says it this way. This is why we don't, translate word for word from the Greek, because this is how it says it. Let me find it here for you real quick. The Greek literally says, for equipping of the saints to the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now, it seems pretty straightforward to me, I hope it does to you, that the whole point of the fivefold ministry is to engage people in order to help them come into a place of fulfilling their part in the system that God has placed them in. It's not for me or anyone else in the fivefold ministry thing to say, well, I'm here because I deserve to be here. Or I'm here because, God has anointed me in some special out of this world way. No, God has given me this calling in order that I might help prepare you to do what God's called you to do. He has not called us to do it all. No more than he has called any system or part in our human body to do it all. The circulatory system does what it does, right? But it doesn't do what the digestive system does. It can't. It's not meant to work that way. So the question becomes, how do we go about this process of equipping? How does this happen? By the way, the word equipping means to be fully outfitted so as to be ready to go. The short version of that is fully furnished. But the Greek word for equip means to be fully outfitted so as to be ready to go. Have I got the right people this morning? I'm not sure yet. There's a lot of quietness in the room. Ready to go. So what's that look like? How do we go about doing that? How do I as a pastor or as an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or a teacher, how do they go about equipping people, getting people fully outfitted so they're ready to be launched. They're ready to be unleashed. They're ready to do their part in this broader system called the body of Christ. Number one, here we go. Number one, this Greek word equip, while I said to you, ultimately means to be fully outfitted and ready to go. There are different layers to it. There are ways of ways that happens to outfit somebody. And the first slice or layer is to supply what's lacking in information. To supply what's lacking in information. Like if you didn't know, let's say you're taking a job, right? You've said, you know, I want to be a carpenter, right? But you haven't done a lot of carpentry. You have some skill. You have some gifting, talent. You need someone else to provide the information necessary so that you can be good at what God's calling you to do. This makes sense, right? I mean, we spend billions of dollars trying to educate people to be successful in whatever thing that they feel gifted and talented in. Now, the verse that I want to draw your attention to, because it uses this word equip, is when Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 3, 16 and 17, he said this, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So part of the fivefold ministry or responsibility or function is to keep the word of God in front of people, to keep teaching the word of God in such a way that everybody looks at it and says, "Oh, so that's how I'm supposed to do it." Okay. So that we're equipped to do what God's called us to do. Number two, here it is, right here. Number two, it means, this word equip means to repair and set things in order. Now, the verse that this particular Greek word is used in is a very interesting one. I want to take it to you. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. It's where Jesus is kind of going along and he's starting to collect all of his 12 disciples. And it says there, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing, I put the word mending in there because some translations say mending, their nets. The word for equip in the Greek is this word prepare or mending their nets. They are getting the broken parts put back together so that the net is actually useful in catching some fish. I mean, if you're throwing a net out there, but the net's got a hole in it, it's not going to be useful, because when you start drawing the net in, all the fish go out through the hole, right? So what's that? What does that translate into for us? All of us come into this thing. All of us come into this thing with some tears in our nets, right? There's some brokenness. Everything's not connected just the way it should be. So part of the fivefold ministry is to help people fix their nets, their lives, in such a way that they're useful in serving in the body of Christ. We're helping you mend your heart. We're helping you mend your nets. We're calling you to the things that God is calling to you, but we're also looking at it and saying, you know, if this thing's going to be as effective as it should, we all got brokenness, right? But we can't have gaping holes in this thing. We've got to start repairing and preparing hearts to live in such a way that they're being most effective. Is that all right? That's what we're doing. That's what our goal is. Number three, it means to bring together in unity. So we've got this idea of supplying information that's lacking. We got this idea of kind of repairing some things and getting some things set in their proper place. And it also means, collectively together, the fivefold ministry is trying to bring people together to serve the greater good of glorifying Christ. Now, the verse I want to draw your attention to for this one is in 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul writes and he says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that all of you agree with one another so that there be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. This phrase, perfectly united, is the same Greek word for equipped. Brought together and united together. You know, a good person that's serving in one of these ministry places isn't a divider. They aren't somebody that's saying, oh, you know, we're better than they are over there. When I start hearing that kind of language, I run. Because I look and I say, while you may think you're one of these, one of your primary callings is to try to be pulling people together, not separating them. So when all of you go on the websites and you go to websites and they're finding something wrong with this ministry and something wrong with that ministry and there's something wrong with this, can I just tell you, they're not doing the work of the fivefold ministry. Because the work of the fivefold ministry is to give you needed information so that you're effective, right? It's about helping you mend the holes in your heart and life. And it's about bringing a sense of we're together in this thing. We're moving forward together. It's not them against us or us against them. We're in this thing together. Amen. Now, Paul used this word in the context, this equipping word, in the context of the body, his church. He pictures a complete furnished individual, an outfitted individual, so that they might be ready to fulfill their purpose in the greater body of Christ where God has placed them by his Spirit. Now, I want to close with this idea because I think in my mind, this works. I want to show you, do you have that clip ready? You got it? I can't see you back there. Okay, got the clip ready. Okay, hold on just a second. Don't show it yet. A couple of weeks ago, the Buffalo Bills were playing I don't even know who they're called. Are they still Oakland Raiders? Okay, they were playing the Oakland Raiders. They're moving though, right? They aren't to their new home, but I think they're still in Oakland. So they're playing the Oakland Raiders. There was this old dude that came out in the game. I think because somebody else got hurt, he had to fill in. This old dude, his last name is Tate. Brandon Tate, thank you. But he's this old dude. He's like, you know, probably should be retired, but he's still out there trying to give it a go, right? And so he was doing some kickoff returns and things like that, but he got inserted into the game as a wide receiver, which is a person who catches a ball when the quarterback throws it, right? I'm more concerned not about his catch and run, but what happens afterwards. Just watch this real quick. Watch. Can you back that up? Would you back that up for me? Watch. Right here, what happens? See the dudes? Thank you very much for stopping it. Who is that dude with the buffalo on right there? That's the coach, right? That's the coach. The coach, watch what the coach does. Go ahead. Look, watch what's happening.
That was really cool. Really straight up, just pure, raw, guys just happy for Brandon. Knowing how big of a play that was, too. I mean, all effort, we got some key blocks late in the play, just kind of switching plays, you know, just gritting their teeth. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Okay, now, here's my analogy. The fivefold ministry, in my mind, works like coaches for the team. right? We're bringing some vision. We're bringing a strategy. We're bringing some ideas. We're bringing some proven things that work to the table, right? And a good coach spends time with his team. They don't come out of a hole on Sunday morning, say a few things, right? And then go back into the hole Monday through Saturday. A coach spends time with his team. He eats with them, right? He does life with them. They're together a lot, a really lot, right? A good coach prays with his team. He does. A good coach prays with his team. A good coach helps his team deal with life issues. You've heard it before. You've heard players say, you know, I just didn't look to my coach as the guy that helped me on the field. That coach of mine, he helped me deal with some issues I was dealing with off the field. You know what I'm talking about? Like he was involved in that person's life. A good coach knows how to train the team. A good coach knows how to get them to play and well together, right? You know that some of the most successful teams are the ones that do what their part is, right? But they do it in a complementary way with everyone else on the team. It's not just about them. It's about the team, right? Okay, so they do that. They have been given on Monday through Saturday, let's say, they spend time doing this, living with the team, eating with the team, breathing with the team, loving on the team, caring about the team. He sets them up for success. He gives them the needed information they need to know. And listen, I don't have a clip for you, but they all run out on the field together. When the game starts, the coach is running, the players are running, they're all running. They're together in this thing, right? But, when it comes time to run the plays, who runs them? The players run them. The coach doesn't run out on the field and run the plays. He doesn't say, here, hike me the ball. And then toss it way up high in the air, run down and catch the ball and score a touchdown. The coach doesn't do that. What he does is he helps other people get equipped, fully outfitted, so that they can run the place. Then, when great things happen, the coach is the first one to run over to the person and say, great job. Really good job. Thank you for praying for that person. Thank you for caring about that person. Thank you for reaching out to that person. Listen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is if you have a pastor-centric mindset, the pastor is the coach. He's the quarterback. He's the guy who catches the ball. He does it all. Can I just tell you, that is unrealistic. That can't happen and happen well. It's not possible. That's why so many of our churches are stunted and there are these weak things out there. Because somehow that fivefold ministry, and I raise my hand as guilty as charged, we haven't done a good job of getting the vision, first and foremost, of how the body should really work. And then we haven't invested the energy and time in actually equipping people. Remember I said to you the first week, it's easier to make decisions than it is to make decision makers? That's where the body of Christ is at. We need to move away from that and start moving towards a more biblical model of how this thing is supposed to work. Now, can I just tell you, that means some effort on your part. Right? But do you know what? When we start doing, and I just gotta say, because I don't want you to think that we're starting to go in a different direction. I'm trying to get you to understand the direction we're already going in. Right? This is where we're headed. It's not about me or Scott or Josh, it's about us together. Us doing our part in all this, but trying to equip all of you to do what God's called you to do, both inside here and outside here. You know, you have people. I'm looking across the room right now, and I'm seeing people. You know people I may never, ever, ever know. And I have people, once in a while, they'll call me up and say, you know, could you go visit so-and-so in a hospital? I know they don't go to your church, so-and-so. Would you please go and visit? And I'm happy to do that. You know me. I love people. I'm up for visiting anybody, right? I'll reach anybody. I love that. That's how I'm wired. But I just got to tell you this. Listen, you can pray for them just as good as I can pray for them. I'm not trying to get an extra day off a week, right? Or go out and play golf more. You know, that's, again, those of you who know me, that's not how I roll. But I want you to understand this, that just like the human body has many different systems and parts, we're going to look at a couple more systems next week, but just like the human body works in this incredible way and serves us, for the most part, very well. By the way, you've all discovered when it doesn't work well, it's no fun, right? And Paul, God, uses Paul as a vessel to bring that kind of understanding to us so that we'll translate it, we'll bring it over and apply that to the body of Christ. When the systems are in place and they're working well, I'm telling you, this thing, it flourishes. It goes well. But when one system isn't working, or some of the parts that aren't just playing their particular spot, it just doesn't work well. It doesn't work well. I hope you can hear my heart. The leadership here at PCF is endeavoring to equip you. We're trying to give you the needed information you need to know. We're trying to help many of you, you know, get your hearts to a place where there's a greater sense of wholeness than brokenness. We're trying to, you know, bring us together in a sense of unity, that, you know, God's got a purpose and a plan for our body here. And let's do it together. In a body ministry, the body ministers to one another. The body ministers to one another. At the end of the service, in just a minute, you may have noticed that over the time that you've been here, that there will be people standing up here on both sides offering to pray for any of you that have needs. A lot of the time, it's people that you sit beside in church. It's people you go to church with. Sometimes there is someone from a fivefold ministry up here. But what I want you to know and hear is that I believe that these people are capable of crying out to God, and God hears them no different than he hears me. Every facet of our church life, we're trying to say, you know, how can we better equip people? How can we better release them into the places and purposes for which God has called them to? I value greatly the fivefold ministry. I'm thankful to be a part of it, but I want to tell you right now, it's only one system in the body. It needs to be working. It needs to do its part in it, but it's only one system. Because this is a big body. Just like our human bodies are complex and a lot of things going on, there are other systems within the body. We'll look at those next week. All right, I think I said everything I wanted to. Would you pray with me? Now, I don't know who's on deck to pray up here this morning, but whoever you are, please come and take your places. Lord, in the same way that you have, in an absolutely amazing way, put these human bodies of ours together, I believe in like manner you have also put the body of Christ together to work in an amazing way. We have an amazing God. We have an amazing Savior. You've given us an amazing job to do, to proclaim you in all the earth, to disciple people, to baptize people, to see people's lives made whole. And for that, Lord, we need all systems on board working. We need everything working just the way you set it in place to work. This morning, we're just recognizing the value of the fivefold ministry. There is a very definite, important, vital role for that ministry that you've set in place, that system to play for your church. I pray not only for here, Lord, but I pray for the general body of Christ that you would help the debate no longer be about who these people are, that our talk would go to who's qualified to what is it that they're supposed to do. Lord, I pray right now for a fresh endowment of power on that area, on that system of your church, Lord, that apostles would be doing the work of an apostle, that prophets would be doing the work of a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They would all be doing what you've called us to do to equip the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as the other members of the body come together, Father, that they would be in the know of what's going on. I see now what's happening. And that they would gladly open their lives to being equipped so that you can bless them and use them to their utmost, Lord. God, we want to be moving together. We want to be walking and running and breathing and living and just doing this thing together, all systems working with each other, seeing you glorified, seeing you honored, seeing your life in the church and your life brought to bear to those outside the church, Lord. And ultimately, as we sang about this morning, we want you to be utterly glorified. We want that bride of yours to look beautiful as we serve you in serving one another. God, we need your help. We're admitting it. Without you, the brains of the operation, we're never going to be able to get her done. But we know with you and you in your rightful place, nothing is impossible with you. I thank you for this place called Pioneer Christian Fellowship. I thank you for the people that are here, the parts that you have brought together to work with each other and for each other, Lord. I thank you that many, many, many are already engaged in what we're talking about here this morning. I thank you that they've heard from some of the leadership in the body of Christ. They've accepted the challenge and they've begun to serve you faithfully. I pray that you would just pour it on. And I pray anybody that's here that hasn't found their spot yet, their system, their part in that system, I pray nobody will feel on the outside looking in, Lord. Everybody will be, whether it's a little nuclear cell, a little nucleus cell somewhere playing a part, Lord, that everyone will be flowing together just as you meant them to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.